Okay, so I guess we'll just start at the beginning as to where someone would start their very first vibrator, I would guess.
Usually when people come into the store and they say they're looking for a vibrator, the first thing I do is try and find out a little bit more focus of what they're looking for. Vibrator tends to be a really generic term today, and so some people use the term vibrator when they mean penetrative stimulation. So the first thing I do is find out, are we looking for something for a penetrative stimulation or a clitoral stimulation? Vibrators are great for stimulating the clitoris. And then I'll usually focus them down to a few, especially if they're first-time vibrator purchases. I'll always make recommendations that a variable speed's a very good idea, because if it's your first vibrator, you don't know. Do you want a lot of vibration or a little bit? And the next thing I'll tell them is that the Japanese make the best electronics, whether it be a stereo or a VCR or a vibrator. they have the technology. So, and then I usually focus them down to four, and three of them being what's collectively known as egg-style vibrators, and they are, for a visual, smaller, slightly smaller than an egg on a fairly long cord, and then they go to a control pack, so that what happens is you have just a small part of the unit that's vibrating, very unobtrusive into couples' play, and a control pack that you can get your hand on.
Okay, and this is clitoral stimulation, right? This is the kind of vibrator we're talking about? We're not talking about penetrative, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
There's actually, when we're talking about vaginal stimulation, we don't really have the nerve endings internally that respond to vibration. So if we were talking about anal stimulation, that would be different, but the vagina is a muscle mass, and it responds to the manipulation of the muscle, not something sitting still vibrating. So, yeah. And then, so we've got, you know, three sort of egg-style vibrators that I would recommend that you choose from, being that they are the Japanese-made, and then one that's very similar but without a cord. And when you have vibrators that have no cords, it becomes a little bit more difficult to get your hands on the variable speed if you have two bodies pressed together or what have you. So if that's what we're looking for, then I would go there.
Okay. Well, I had another question. That's totally slipped my mind. oh, shoot. I totally did have another question. And it was... Okay, well, let's start as to what I guess the second step would be. So the first step would be like the egg-shaped ones. And then what would you say a second step vibrator would be?
Usually the reason that I kind of recommend that to start with is because they're in the lower price range. If someone has experience in that they know that they require a really intense amount of stimulation in order to orgasm, a lot of pressure or whatever clitorally, they may want to sort of forego the small battery-operated vibrator and go into something that plugs in. And plug-in vibrators are going to have more power, long life. They come out of a small appliance industry as opposed to a sex toy industry, so they are made with the same kind of quality as the Braun hand mixer. But they also are larger, heavier. You are tied to the wall. They generally have two speeds. So a high and a low, and the low is usually still quite a bit more intense than the high end of a battery-operated vibrator. So what happens if that's too much vibration? What do? You can, you know, diffuse it through a blanket or something, which is fine if you're on your own, but it becomes a little trickier if you're actually trying to incorporate that vibrator into play with a partner as well. So it's always, I mean, I always find that for customers when they're coming into the store, it's really helpful if they have some idea of what it is they want to do and how they want to use the product, in other words, on their own, with a partner, both. It's not, you know, you don't have to know what you want. You more have to have a little, or you don't have to, if it helps, to have a little focus of, you know, where you want to go. So, and then, so there's the plug-in vibrators, and then I guess the third kind of classification of vibrator is the dual ones. And they...
Now, do they plug in, or are they battery run?
They're battery run, and they're generally run on 3C cell batteries. So they have a fair amount of power. And they are also the good quality ones are coming out of Japan. And so as a point of interest, the Japanese have a law against depicting anything that, or sorry, exporting anything that depicts human genitals. So those are the ones that tend to have the little animals and the little faces, little people on them and stuff, because of course they can't be penises.
Okay, well let's play with some of them.
Okay,
so let's start with we got some whips in the background, so excuse us. Okay, let's start with the egg ones, which is usually the what there's I see a lot here, which is usually the one you go for.
Well, again, there's sort of a shelf of them to kind of show you different selections and stuff. There's really three that I tend to focus people on, and those are the Japanese ones. You have
okay.
a basic one that is just a hard plastic, so, and again, variable speed. It's going to have a little bit. They tend to be just a little bit noisier, although they're certainly not noisy by any stretch of the imagination.
Not noisy enough for your neighbors to hear, really, is the good thing.
Exactly, or if you have like lots of roommates or whatever. Unless you drop it on your rings like I just did, then it can be quite noisy. But on its own, it's generally not noisy. There's that one, it has the egg itself is a plastic. There's another one called the Lovely Ball, and it has a soft egg. The motor is contained within a latex housing as opposed to the hard plastic housing, which makes for, you probably can't even hear it, whisper quiet.
Oh, you can't hear it, can you?
So if someone comes in and they must have something that's very quiet and they're really, you know, concerned that the noise is going to be of a distraction to them, that's a perfect one. And the third one that is within the egg style category is the honey dog.
Now this must be a Japanese one because it looks like a bear or something. Is it a dog?
They say it's a dog. I don't know why they call it that, and I'm not sure I want to know. But what essentially is when you have the dual vibrators, you have this clitoral element that usually is some sort of animal figure with a flicking tongue. And then the shaft element is usually some sort of like samurai warrior or something like that. And many a woman has looked at them and exclaimed, don't they make the vibrator just on its own? And that's mostly because it looks really impressive in that it has a little flicking tongue. So.
Yeah, that one's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting looking. And again, it's a latex rubber, so it runs very, very quietly. It's got like a soft, friendly feel. And as far as the little dog image, people either respond favorably to it or they think it's weird.
I admit it scares me a little bit, but, you know, nothing closing my eyes can't change, really.
The thing to remember with sex toys for women is generally if you're using them, you're not looking at them.
I guess unless you're using it on someone else, and then it's not quite as disturbing.
Exactly, yeah. And then the fourth one that sort of is in that starter category of where I'd start you off is called the Apollo, and it's the one that is the Japanese variable speed without the cord. And so what happens is it becomes noisier because instead of just the motor vibrating in the egg section, it's all in one, so you'll hear the batteries vibrating as well. I will demonstrate. And that would be its low end. And that would be its high.
This one looks like a lightsaber, like from Star Wars.
You could probably direct planes in on a runway with this one.
But they sound like egg beaters. Like, I mean, if someone asks, you're baking, you know.
Well, and the other thing, of course, to remember of anything that has moving parts, whether it's the car you buy or the vibrator, they start out quiet and they get louder over time as things get looser and shake loose and they run more and things aren't fitting as tight. And, I mean, you know, that's the same as a luxury car. So the thing with vibrators, the battery-operated vibrators, is they tend to last around a year to a year and a half, and that really depends on the user. I've had one for over 2 years, and so it depends how careful you are and stuff, but usually before they're really rattling around loose and loud, they tend to have been broken down and replaced, which is not the case with the plug-in ones that we were talking about. They actually have like a one-year manufacturer's warranty, and they go on and on. I actually replaced a Hitachi magic wand for a customer that had lost theirs in a house break-in, and they'd had it for 8 years.
Aww.
So.
Okay, well, let's look at some of the plug-in ones. So they actually did, can you return? Not to you personally, but like, say you have a problem with it. Do they take them back?
They don't, we have a 30-day store warranty, which what that means is if you have any problems in 30 days, we'll just give you another one. And then that would be a product that would be obviously destroyed. When you get into things that have one-year manufacturer's warranties, they're repair warranties. So when you're looking at the plug-in ones, we carry the big names, so Sunbeam, Wall, and Hitachi, and most of those can actually even just be fixed locally with a receipt. You take to the authorized repair center, they fix it, and they bill the company. So in most cases, they're pretty hassle-free to deal with.
Okay, so how would you clean your vibrator? Like, can you put it in water? Or I see that you have VibroClean.
Yeah, the VibroClean is it's a really intense cleaner that is designed to be very watered down, and it contains non-oxidol 9, which probably a lot of people are familiar with seeing in lubricants. And what non-oxidol 9 is in the real world is a very, very strong detergent. So, you know, interesting thing to put into lubricants. A lot of people seem to complain from burning and itching, which is strange, isn't it? It's a good cleaner. It's not such a great spermicide.
Yeah, I was under the impression non-oxidol 9 was like really bad.
So when you're looking at vibrators that have soft parts, which then tend to be like some sort of rubber or vinyl, they're
now if you're sharing vibrators, toys, and that sort of thing, do you recommend cleaning it afterwards? Do you recommend using say a condom on it or anything like that? Or does it just depend on how much precaution you want to take?
It definitely cleaning it in between use for sure. That's a given. It's just like you shouldn't be touching yourself and then your partner, you know, your own genitals and then your partner's genitals with your hands without being cleaned or changing a glove. You shouldn't move one sex toy from one person to another. Or for that matter, if you actually are talking about toys that you're using in orifices, you shouldn't cross from anal to vaginal, even on the same person. Cleaning is important. If you have a vibrator that has a soft, again, soft spongy surface, a condom is a good idea if you're sharing, especially if you're sharing with, you know, multiple partners. I mean, if you have one partner, you've had them for a long time, and you're the only two who have ever used the vibrator, then that it might be a little bit different issue. That's a decision that you can make. But, yeah, if you're out there playing the field a little bit more, you know, you want to protect yourself, and condoms and thorough cleaning are both recommended.
Now, one question. Now, when you get to the ones that you plug in, can you get electrocuted?
Well, if you were using it in the shower, you could, but you're not supposed to do that with things.
Don't use your vibrator in the shower. That's the PSA for this one.
Or your hairdryer or any of those things. Beyond that, no, it's not a concern. It's not a concern any more than, again, you know, the Braun hand mixer in the ice cream making a milkshake. If the product is defective and the cord is frayed, you shouldn't use it no matter what household item it is. And beyond that, it's not going to be a concern.
Okay. I guess, do you want to...
Okay. So, the plug-in ones, they're another example of something that starts quite quiet and over time. Like, here's a very, very quiet wall, what is known as a coil vibrator. That's its low setting.
That's very quiet.
And yeah, and that's its high setting. It's quite quiet.
This has attachments, doesn't it?
Yeah. These of course they come out of a small appliance industry. They're not sexual products. So these attachments are, here's something for scalp massage. It looks like a hairbrush, nice and soft. Massage that scalp. And sort of like a wedge sort of deal, I guess, to get at those, you know, really knotted up muscles from that extreme workout. This particular one has a heat attachment. So what you will generally find you're using is what's called the spot attachment, which is...
So you could get this at like Walmart, is what you're saying, because they don't put them out as vibrators. They put them out as like massage tools.
Technically, that's right. There's a lot of people that come here to buy them, even though they may or may not be able to find them in a drugstore or a department store, because there's a lot of products out there now that are copying the good quality stuff. So you'll see like these name brands that you're not familiar with, and you'll look at it and they will be, you know,